Hey, everyone. This is Biz from Happily Center After and the ACG Shop, and I am your host tonight for this evening's festivity. And this feels kind of nice because usually I'm in the hot seat and I'm the one that has to kind of swing the call, and this time we got somebody else doing it. So before we get started, I'd really like to thank everyone for taking time out of their busy schedule to join us tonight, because I know that life is crazy sometimes, and for you to take out a little bit of time to kind of listen to a story, get a little bit motivated and whatever, this is time is precious. And so I really appreciate you sharing the energy with me and Darlicia tonight. We were just talking about this a few seconds ago, but we were kind of okay until today, and both of us are starting to get just a tad nervous. But, you know, we've met each other before, and so we kind of know each other's body language, so we can talk to each other knowing that, what we look like when we're talking. So I'm just going to consider myself talking to a friend, and it's really nice. It's really nice to do it that way because, well, first of all, I like to treat my clients as friends, because it's only by developing that kind of a relationship with my clients that I care enough about what happens to them. It's not just about the weight loss. It's not just about nutrition. It's about their life. And only by knowing them that intimately, for lack of a better word, am I able to then help them aspire or to get to their goals. I have this really firm belief system that our weight control journey is way tied into our life, and that what happens to us in our lives is going to have a direct result in how we fuel ourselves. And if I can establish that friendship with all my clients, then I get a clearer picture of what makes them tick, and then be able to help them prepare themselves, basically empower themselves to get through those things that we all know we have to go through that's going to slap us in the face. And we're going to talk about stuff like that tonight, aren't we, Darlicia?
Yes.
Yes. Talking about reality, I'm talking about real life, right?
Yes.
I mean, we all have to deal with it. Now, like I said before, I met you in person back in 2010. Oh, my gosh, that was so long ago already.
In Branson, Missouri.
Branson, Missouri. and so she knows just a little bit about me. She's met me face-to-face, and she knows, I think she knows anyway, that what I'm about to say is true about me, in that I don't do mush well. So we're going to try to not get mushy in this thing, okay, Darlicia?
I'll try. I'm a musher.
I'm
so.
You're a mush person. I'm not a mush person. Oh, no, we're a perfect match, okay? But I know there's going to be times during this interview that mush is going to probably be called for. She has a lot of inspiring stories to tell, and what she's had to go through to get where she is today. And that's inspirational. I mean, she's inspired me. Sometimes I've had nothing but, oh, God, girl, you inspire me. That's all I can say, because she has gone through it all, and she has managed to have success. And so this is all about you, darling.
Wow.
So without further ado, let me introduce you, or let me have you introduce yourself to the group. This is Darlicia. So,
hi, how are you? And I guess I don't know if anybody wants to know, but I'm Dr. Show Me. That's my name.
Okay, Dr. Show Me. Yes, on the HTA forum, definitely. Yep, that's who she is. Yeah, they don't know you by Darlicia. Okay, true. So first of all, let's get the stats. Let's get the housekeeping stuff out of the way. Why don't you kind of give us a basic rundown, like your age, your, you know.
Oh, okay.
Work-related, anything like that, where you live, anything that you want to share on that kind of thing.
Okay. So I am, Darlicia Alexander is my name. I'm 41, and I am from a suburb in Kansas City called Lee's Summit. And I am actually still working towards my goal, but my goal has changed a number of times, partly because I was playing mind games with myself and maybe thinking that I couldn't get down to a certain number. So I would at first start off just going by decades, because I started at 259.8. And so all I wanted was to be under 200, but I thought that was just too much to say. So I just kept saying, I want to get to a new decade. And
so,
then when
so, let me interrupt you just for a second. How tall are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 5'7".
Okay. Go on with your story, just to give them have a little bit of idea where we stand.
Okay. And then once I got to 200, then I actually said, well, maybe I really can do 180. And then I got to, 185, and I decided, well, let's try 160. And so then Biz and I talked about a goal, and I think 160 is my official goal, but I really just want to be a solid size 8 jean. So that's where I am with that. It's so far it's taken, I started, this is my second go-round. The first time was 2009, from July 2009 to July 2010, and I did full P3 breaks, so it took about a year to get about 66 pounds off. And unfortunately, life happened, things happened, and I didn't fare well. I thought I was looking good, and I didn't need to pay Biz anymore to coach me. And I decided to move on by myself, and panicked in P3 and got so nervous and disappointed, and I was embarrassed and didn't want to come back. So now we roll forward to this July, July 2012, and I went through my last summer being the fat girl at the pool, and I just didn't like it. I didn't like how I felt. I was sick. I didn't have energy. I was depressed. And so, probably starting in April or May, I started doing some things. But at the end of the day, I realized HCG had been the most successful for me. So I called or emailed Biz and said, I hit rock bottom and I'm ready to do this again. And that was... until I probably didn't call you for coaching until maybe September, but I think I started my first round in July.
Yeah, I should have looked that up, because I do have that information, but I didn't want my email open while I was doing this, so I can clarify that at another time. But
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wanted to have some success. It's so weird, because I'm this aggressive, tell it like it is girl, not scared to say it or do it. But I wanted to be worthy of the service, because I had gained all this weight back. And I mean, the guilt was crazy. And so once I got through, around, I think maybe a round and a half, and I was really successful, I was like, now it's really time to do this. And so that's kind of where we are. I guess it's the end of February now, and I've cycled. I think I did 1 3-week P3, and then the rest of the time I cycled. So from July 9th to the present day, I'm at 103 pounds lost.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is just simply amazing. There's really two stories here. There's the story of beginning HCG for the first time, and it's all new and it's great and everything's mm-hmm. fine and everything's fun and oh my gosh, the weight just drops off you and all this kind of good stuff. And then it's that, and I say this with as much love as I can muster, because if you don't think that I've gone through the same thought process, you got another thing coming. Mm-hmm. You get cocky, okay?
Right.
You get really cocky. You get to the point of saying, oh, my gosh, this is the miracle that I've been waiting for. I can go screw up mm-hmm. as much as I want, and then I can go back on HCG and lose it again. Well,
and fix it.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. That, you know, I mean, I think we've had this discussion in the past of that whole beginner's mind. When you do HCG for the first time, it's that, oh, my gosh, it's new. This is great. This is a miracle, blah, blah, blah. And then if you've given it up for a while and try to get back to it, it's hard. It's a hard process.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like you said, the whole guilt thing gets involved, and and that brings into it, oh, my gosh, it's like, how do I, you know, you had success once with a support team in place, and not just me, but the support team at HTA.
Mm-hmm.
I say this with all love, but you turned your back on it.
Right.
And yeah, how can I explain this? It's like that thing in our head says, well, I should be able to do this by myself.
Right.
You know, but why? That's the kind of creatures that we are.
Right. Right.
We're a community creature. We need community support. We need family. We need support no matter what it is, no matter what we're striving for, we need support. And so that's the last thing that you need to do is give up your support system.
Absolutely. It took me a long time the first time, I thought just getting it off was the biggest part. And of course that's how I've always been throughout my life. Every diet that I've ever done, I've always lost. So that's never been a problem. It's been the maintenance, because in your head, you still convince yourself that it's okay to do those bad things in
moderation.
Moderation. And for me, that does not work.
And then, sometimes we can fool ourselves. We can tell ourselves lies. I mean, our
right.
heads can, you know, justify situations, and we can tell
right.
ourselves lies. And if we have nobody to be accountable to, if
right.
we have no friend or family that's, you know, watching our back to know that our goal really is to be healthy, our goal really is to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
thin, our goal really is to for our blood sugars to be, you know, normal, our
right.
goal really is. If we don't have anybody like that on our corner,
mm-hmm.
then our brains will play tricks on us.
Exactly.
And it was like, okay, tomorrow, you know, I can do this today, but then tomorrow, but then tomorrow comes and then something happens.
And you spend your time figuring out how to cheat the system and still lose, and you just end up going into a spiral. But I want to say this, that I am not a representative of this physician or anybody else, but I have in my notes that in September, you introduced me to Wheat Belly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me that it was not just about losing weight, and it was about my health, because I knew I wasn't doing well, and I'm really vulnerable right now, because I'm going to tell you guys a lot of stuff, but I'm a physician and I know a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that we always listen to what we know. And so I knew something was going on, and I thought I might be diabetic, but I didn't want to go to the doctor because I didn't want to hear it, but I still wanted to do something about it. And so when you suggested that I read Wheat Belly, I ordered it on Amazon that day and got it in 2 days and read it and then read it again, and it was described in me and that addiction to sugar. And so even though I was already doing HCG and I was on my way back down, that book is what solidified why I was doing it instead of just for vanity reasons, wearing a bikini or small pair of jeans or whatever. It was more about taking away that risk for, you know, heart disease and diabetes and those kind of things, and mental health as well.
It was interesting. I remember one exchange that we had a few months ago. It might have been back in September, October. You know, time just kind of melds together. But I knew you were in the medical profession. So, but
mm-hmm.
I've never, with anybody that I have that's one of my clients, I never treat them as if they know everything, because none of us do.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do, but I make suggestions all the time, and, you know, Wheat Belly is one of those suggestions that I made. But I remember telling you that you needed to get a glucose meter, and you needed
right.
to start taking your blood sugar. And you were, like, shocked. Like, oh, my God. You know? This is what
and
really
I was surprised
happened
the first day.
Yeah. And you were
I was
literally
mortified.
Shocked. Yeah. Like, and then you started having these conversations. You weren't really having them with me. You were writing. Do you remember this? You were writing to me, but I think
uh-huh.
you were writing to yourself. You know, this is what I would tell a patient. Now, why can't I listen to myself?
Exactly.
You know, like, do you remember that whole exchange?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
But it was hilarious because I was like going, I don't even need to be in this conversation.
Just figuring it out. But it's so true. And even when I, you know, if I have surgery, I tell people, you know, I'm so don't assume. Just let me know. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things in the medical profession that we don't know just because it's just not out there. And, you know, really only the cardiac surgeons have caught on to the sugar wheat kind of thing. Everybody else is still, you know, talking about wheat being the best thing. And so I like having those articles. And that's, you know, I'm going to listen, but I'm also going to go read those articles that you recommend and then take it even further so that I can make a professional judgment. And, you know, I read for hours and hours. And the more I read, the more I'm like, you're crazy. You need to get it together. So those two together, the HCG, I don't tell people here, or I'm at work right now,
mm-hmm.
that I do it just because, one, it's nobody's business. Two, I'm sick of defending it. And, you know, I use my line, if you want to just spend 8 months to lose 10 pounds on Weight Watchers, go right ahead.
Right.
But, you know, I did try it, and because I was almost 260, I had 39 points. So what did I do? Two or three times a week, I had a Häagen-Dazs bar because that was only 8 points. It was within my point. That doesn't work.
No. You know, and I remember one time I told you to the next time that you had one of those episodes, I call them
yes.
episodes, I guess.
Next time I had, you told me to check my blood sugar.
I don't like calling them binge. I hate that word. But,
we call them indulgence in our.
There you go, indulgences. That's right. That's the word. Thank you for reminding me. When you had an indulgence, I wanted you to go ahead and take your blood sugars. And this is what really amazes me. And I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist or nothing. I'm just a layman, okay? But I like to use tools, okay? And so I think the glucose meter is like a really fantastic cheat tool.
It is.
To get data. I'm getting excited now. I got to stop. I got to slow down.
Well, it's cheap except I was checking it every 10 minutes cuz it went up so high. And I used the whole thing of strips. My husband's like, you do know how much those strips cost. I was like, look, I don't care. I need to find out what my sugar is.
I know if I keep taking it, it's going to go down. I know if I keep taking it. And I remember you writing me back, and it was like, oh, my God, that it's shocking.
Yeah, that was the eye-opener for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was funny on my end because you're a doctor.
Right.
Yeah, And what's really funny, Darlicia, and I don't know how you deal with patients on this and if you can give me any kind of insight to deal with any kind of clients. You know, when I ask them, you know, are you taking your blood sugar when you have an indulgence, when you're eating sugar, when you're eating wheat
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Sugar
mm-hmm.
not too much, as much as wheat. Wheat
mm-hmm.
seems to be the really big thing.
Yeah.
They give me every excuse in the book why they don't.
Right.
It's like they don't want to know, as if that's going to change things.
Exactly. You just kind of have to face it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you read my article last week in the BizBuzz, but I said, it's really getting to the point where I'm scared for these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually,
I did read it.
Yeah, I'm scared because I've just lost 6 people in the last 3 months, young people in my life.
Right.
And I can't deny that there has to be some sort of correlation between what they eat, and you know, they might be eating good all the time, and then all of a sudden they have an indulgence. And those indulgences, I can't help but believe that those indulgences are what are causing these heart conditions. Or
right.
These heart, you know, heart attacks or strokes or whatever the case is, it scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me that this is happening on a regular basis.
Right. Well, this was my Scared Straight. Remember in what, junior high, we used to get that movie, Scared Straight? Well, it wasn't about this, but this is my Scared Straight. Because, I mean, I felt like I was 65. Not that that's old, but being 40, I felt much older than my stated age. And I think, you know, when we have patients, and that's the first thing we'll say, appears older than stated age. That means you're not doing too well. And I just didn't want to be like that. I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to get out with my family and do Taekwondo. My husband's fit. My kids are in sports. So I'm the only overweight person in the family. And I asked my 13-year-old, I said, well, do you think mom's fat? Why would I do that? That's just stupid. Well, he's 13 and doesn't know how to lie yet. So he says, yep. and it saddened me because it's like, well, gosh, I don't want him to feel bad or be embarrassed. And I don't want, you know, to have diabetes and see me go into the doctor all the time. And, you know, we amputate feet. I'm an anesthesiologist. I see what diabetes does to people every single day. And shame on me to allow something like that to happen when I can prevent it. So, you know, whatever happened.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Alisa, that's powerful. Wow. Hold on, I gotta soak that in for a second. That was powerful. Okay, go on. I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's it. I'm
you
done with being powerful. No, that was it. I don't know.
That was awesome. Oh my God. No, you're talking to the choir. You know, seriously. Gosh. Okay, let's go back. You touched a little bit, like I said, there's two stories here. There's the first time you did HCG and you lost a tremendous amount of weight, and then you left and regained. Now, really quick question, did you regain everything that you had lost? Did you regain more than you had lost? Or how
I regained what I lost, and I found some more.
You found some more.
I was, when I started the first time, I was 243.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down, I think the lowest number I could find was actually right after we left Branson, and I was like 176, 177, and had my Miss Me jeans on there and everything. You couldn't tell
me
enough.
Looking good, I can tell you that much.
Yes. And so this time I didn't get on the scale. I mean, you know, at some point it creeps up and you're surprised, but then you pass that stage and you know, and you just hide from the scale.
You don't care.
Yes. And I had to go to GYN and they insisted that I got on the scale, and it took me about 5 minutes of arguing, and finally I got on and I saw 269 and I was mortified. I was just, oh my goodness. I weighed more than my husband. My husband's 6'3". And
yeah, he's a big
muscular
man.
Yes. And I was like, oh my goodness. So what happened was I was having menstrual cycle problems, and I had to get a biopsy, and you have to scoot all the way down on the table, and my legs were so big that I couldn't get all the way down without getting a Charlie horse. And I was laughing and crying at the same time because it hurt. I was embarrassed. My husband's holding a leg. The doctor's trying to do the test. And it was just an awful situation. And it was all weight-based. And so that day was the day that I said, I'm going to do something. And that was in, I think that was like in April. But, you know, I didn't do HCG. I just recommitted myself to getting healthy.
Doing something, yeah.
Doing something, yes. And so, and I did start to walk and exercise again. And so I think I, you know, I kept trying to tell myself, you can do this without doing HCG. You don't need to get anybody to help you. And, you know, all your friends, we're going to do it together. And at the end of the day, I realized I needed to do what I knew worked. And the difference this time is that I understand what wheat and sugar does to me. And so now, you know, I basically live on P3 because I don't eat bread. And when I'm on P3 or when I'm, what do you call it, gorging or getting ready to start, I don't do it with sugar. I do it with fats, and it makes a whole big difference. And I think I made a comment in one of your articles. Yes, because I was like, you know, if we're really doing this for the long haul, for the rest of our lives, why would we go to the very thing that's causing the problem? You know, I think it makes a difference in my head more than anything. So,
well, I'll tell you what it makes a big, huge difference is the fact that you were able. Now, okay, do me a favor really quick. If you have your figures in front of you, you said you really officially started HCG again in July.
Yes.
Do you remember how much you weighed in July?
July. Okay. I started at 259.8.
Okay. So you had already lost 20 pounds from just doing other things,
just
such as
10.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 259, and you got down to
166.4.
So I don't have my calculator. Hold on a second. Let me pull that up here really quick. This is not
That's 93.
This is,
90,
93. That's 93 pounds. Okay, so that's July, August. July, August, September, July, middle of July, 1st of July, end of July.
July 9th is when I started.
Okay, so let's go mid. So July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. So 7 months.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it when I looked at it. I've been telling everybody April.
7 months you lost 90-something pounds. Now, and you took breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But you cycled. So your breaks were from 7 to 10 to 14 days sometimes?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The very first time it was 3 weeks.
Go ahead. Okay.
I'm sorry. The first time it was 3 weeks, but then every other time, I usually got pretty close. I had a moment, and I just jumped right back on. But other than that one time, I usually did about 10 days.
But each time, and this was something that we were stressing every time that you did this,
mm-hmm.
but I kept saying, if you want cycling to work, you can't gain anything during your break.
Right, right. No, I stabilized and
stayed
stable.
Yeah, you took that very seriously.
Yeah.
And it was like, no matter what happened during your break, if you happened to have gained, the next day it was a correction day. It didn't matter what you were doing. You were gonna do it, and that is the reason why you were able to lose 90 something pounds in 7 months. That's. I'm sorry.
I couldn't believe it. I was. I swear to you, it wasn't until I started looking things up that I'm like, oh my gosh, and I kept wondering, why are people acting so crazy? I've lost all this weight and nobody said anything, and it's because I really didn't start losing until the end of the summer. So they want to know why I'm disappearing. And I'm like, I've been doing this since April.
That's when you made your commitment.
Yes, I think that's what it is. So,
but that just goes to show that, you know, I came up with my theory of cycling. Gosh, it was during, I think, my fifth round, which was a little bit more than a year after I had started. And I was like, you know, why couldn't we cycle? And I started experimenting, and I started doing this, and I said, you know, just go 3 weeks on, 7 to 10 days off, 3 weeks on, 7 to 10 days off, and then that way, get the weight off.
Right.
Don't play games with this.
Right.
Get the weight
off.
Take a break. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I, that's the other difference. I did until the holidays, I did only 21 days because the thought, I keep reading on HTA, you can do anything for 21 days. And then after that, you can just think about it and just know you don't have to go any further. And so everybody's losses are much higher those first 3 weeks, and it's self-defeating sometimes, at least for me, to keep seeing 0.2, 0.1, in your fourth week. So I just get the biggest bang at 3 weeks, take a break, have my nice fats, and I love mashed cauliflower with sour cream and butter.
Yes, you
And
do.
then I'm ready to go back. I've had it 3 days in a row already. But yeah, I'm just ready to go back. And then for Thanksgiving and Christmas, that time, I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I always do this around holiday time. I did it last time. But we just stayed on, we had an extended, like, 40-day cycle, but it was almost P2, P3-ish. So, and I stayed stable.
Let's discuss this for a second. Let me back up and discuss this for a
Oh,
second
okay. I'm
because I get a
sorry.
lot of questions. No, that's okay. I get a lot of questions because I encourage some people to what I call live on HCG, and this was kind of a new concept for you. And I said, why not just stay on HCG through the holidays? When you can do of the LCD, when you can do a 500 calorie day or a 750 calorie day or whatever, do it. But the rest of the time, if you need to go out and socialize, or you need to, eat P3, eat, don't go nuts, but let's stay on HCG. And that worked out as being a
It
miracle for
did.
you.
It did. It was so mental because the funny thing is that all I wanted is like a chicken thigh instead of breast. And so to have that permission and to know it was okay, I still had my broccoli and I had my chicken thigh. I was good. I still didn't need the bread or the pie, and I even baked through the holidays. But for some reason, allowing myself to have those fats made me not feel deprived with everybody
Right,
else gorging.
yeah.
And so, I stabilized really well, and I lost 23 pounds, 23.2 pounds from the 27th of November to like 8 to January 3rd. So right in the middle of holiday season.
Yeah, smack dab right in the middle of the holiday.
Right.
And you okay, let's also mention for the benefit of everybody that's listening that you lead a very busy life. Yes, you are working hours upon hours in the day, and you are now in the middle of a really, really stressful situation with your hospital. Yeah. And you have kids, and you have a husband, so you have all the things that most people out there kind of use as an excuse not to be able to get things done. You travel. You're in a position where you have to lead, right? And yeah, and so you have business lunches and dinners and social events, and yet you lost 90 something pounds in 7 months.
Well, I just tell
Girl,
people,
I'm bowing down right now in worship to you.
let me tell you, well, I have to give my husband some credit. I give him a shout out because he is very, very supportive and very, very helpful. And so he will get up. If he doesn't get up with me, he'll get up. He is a stay-at-home dad too, so it makes it a little bit easier. But
I
he'll
know.
get up and make a P2 meal and bring it to me. So at least, if I have this little piece of chicken and this broccoli, it's nice and hot, and he's dropped it off, and I have my lunch, and I don't have to worry about ever going to the cafeteria to be tempted. And and when I'm out, I'm not ashamed anymore. People are seeing this weight loss, and I was like, I'm doing this without eating processed foods and wheat and sugar. So this is how I have to eat. And before I think it's an excuse for me, before people say, oh, come on, you look great. Go ahead. Come on, you got to take a break every now and then. And I did. And the problem is that I kept taking it, and then I went home and took it, and then I woke up in the middle of the night taking it some more. And now, you know, screw you. I'm not going to take it. I don't want it. Thank you very much. Let's move on.
You mentioned one time in a – you were in some sort of a situation, I don't know if it was an event or a dinner or a lunch meeting or something, where something like that exactly happened, and you kind of told off your table saying, you know, can you remember what you said? It was...
And I know the situation, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but I just, you know, I don't know, because I've said so many crazy things. Things just come out,
well,
Biz.
I'm really happy where I'm at, and if you want to honor me or something, or you said something like that.
If you really want to be supportive, please don't push me to eat this.
Right,
you know, just leave me alone. And I've also told people, you know, especially the ones, oh, well, I think you're getting small enough, or this, please. You didn't tell me when I was blowing back up, so don't tell me anything now. Leave me alone.
No kidding. So let me ask you again, just to kind of remind the audience, because you know, in February we've had a lot of returning members.
I noticed. Yeah,
we've had a lot of returning members. In fact, another one just contacted me today, and it just kind of brought a smile to my face, because these are all the old timers, you know. These are the ones that, got us all started in the beginning. Some of them, you know, they suffered like you suffered, where the guilt is tremendous, we all know the feeling. We all know the feeling that we're ashamed of it. We're ashamed of ourselves, and we're thinking everybody else is going to talk about us, and you know, they're disappointed in us. How was the welcome back? Can you describe that?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was like never leaving. Everybody shared their story. Everybody said, you know, we understand. Don't worry. Glad you're here. And that was it. It was just like, okay, move on. Glad you came back. And, you know, you were great, too. I did take a while to call you, but, like, hey, glad to have you, and let's just jump back in.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I just, you know, everybody's always been welcoming, though. But I had to get over that self-defeating, you know, it's all about me. Because, I mean, I'm inspired by people that I look at on the site. So surely somebody has been in my shoes and can learn from what I'm going through as well. And so that's really, you know, what it's all about. I can't tell you. I'm drama queen anyway. But when we had that Branson trip, you know, and to just meet and talk to the ladies that I've been cyber, you know, friends with, and to share those stories, and it was so emotional for me. And so just getting back, it's like you care about people on there. You want to see what happened to the dog. You want to see what happened to mom. And sometimes I got to step back a little bit, because I won't get off. I'll go home, and my husband's like, are you still on? You know, I was like, okay, let me get off. But, yeah, everybody was really wonderful. And I'm telling you, I've been on other sites. I've never been a member, but I've, you know, lurked. And some people are not nice. And, you know, I like how our site, you know, they'll still correct behavior, or at least make suggestions about behavior that might be self-defeating, but they don't do it in a mean-spirited way. And so, you know, then you have the information, and if you choose not to follow it, that's on you. But they will at least tell you, and not just kind of let you go on your own path. And I appreciate that, because sometimes I have to be whipped into shape, but I listen. That's what I'm here for. And
success speaks volumes. Seriously, your success just speaks volumes. Now, I don't want to spend too much time, because we've already taken 40 minutes.
We could talk for hours.
Oh, we could. We really could. You just had a situation that happened this past weekend, and I want to kind of bring it up only for the fact that life continues to happen, even in Macon. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of stuff that derails us or can derail us in our goals. And it's really great what happened because you recovered quite quickly. And that's the key. The key isn't the falling. The key is the recovering. So let's talk. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
We can. You want me to just go ahead?
Yeah, just go ahead and say. Just go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, so I had some issues at work, and, you know, without getting into it, I went to visit a sorority sister in Dallas. We had this great sorority centennial event planned for the weekend, and I got some messages on my cell phone that some crazy stuff was happening, and it was, I mean, potentially career-ending, so that's just how bad it was. I was a frantic mess. My husband was still in, you know, Kansas City. And, you know, I still try to have that tough exterior, and I didn't want to break down in front of my friend. And so I think instead of, you know, boohooing and having a panic attack, I allowed myself to indulge. And, you know, we went to a restaurant, and I had red velvet cheesecake, and, you know, I had a piece of bread here, and I had, you know, everything that I hadn't had. I had pancakes. I haven't had pancakes in over a year. And the pancakes made me sick, though. So then that by this time, this started Friday night, and it went on into Saturday. And then Sunday morning, I said, you know, this is crazy, because this is what my biggest fear is, regaining the weight. And I went to our last event that happened to be a church service. And, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not every Sunday or every other Sunday or even a monthly church attender. So this is why it really touched me, because when I got there and the bishop did the sermon, it was just like she was talking to me. And my friend wasn't even at my table, and she looked back at me, and I knew she was thinking the same thing I thought. So I listened, and I listened, and, you know, I even taped it. It was that inspirational. And it really just had something to do with taking accountability, being accountable for your issues and figuring a way around it and, you know, not letting those problems stop you from doing what you want to do. And, you know, by the end, I'm sniffing, and then my friend comes and I'm bawling, and that even I'm dramatic, but I'm generally not a public person that way. I'm much more guarded with my, you know, grief. And it was just such a relief, one, to get all of that out, but then it was just listening to the message. It was like, this is me. I'm not going to let this situation mess me up and cause me to lose control again. And I got in the car. I called my husband. I said, get the juicer out, because that's what I did the very first time I decided to lose weight, just for a few days to detox and get all that sugar. I said, because I wanted everything out of my body so I wouldn't start craving again. And it, when I got home off the plane, it was there. We went to the grocery store. A couple days did it, and I'm back to where I am. I never got on the scale, but right now I'm just 1.2 above my last injection weight. So I feel good that I was able to stop it and get over it and find a way to get around my issues. And they've also cleared up, so they weren't as dire as I thought they were.
Well, there you go. And that's the key right there, is you had something in place. You had a plan in place that, you know, if reality, like I said in the beginning, when reality hits, when real life hits, you have something in place that's going to pull you out of it, because it's going to happen. We can't beat ourselves up for it. We can't, you know, oh my God, I'm a failure, I can't do this or whatever. We have to pick ourselves up and get, you know, and then what happens is those times, if we keep doing that, those times that happen, the length of time that we're out there doing stupid things gets less and less and less.
Right.
It's not for months at a time or years at a time. It becomes maybe a couple days or maybe
right.
it becomes a couple hours or,
right.
you know, whatever the case is, we pull ourselves together quite quickly.
Right.
So that's awesome. I mean, I was blown away as you were writing these stories.
As I wrote my book.
I was like,
I can't just shorten this. She's got to hear the whole story.
So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, I don't spend a lot of time with this on my coaching, but I am a firm believer in writing being a tool of our success. I mean, writing
mm-hmm.
is really the point where we can get those feelings that sometimes we don't feel comfortable talking about to other people.
Mm-hmm.
We can write them down a whole lot easier.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because, you know why? Because we can kind of backspace.
Yeah, well, and you can change your thought, and it comes out right. And
like
I've always been like that. It just, whenever I try to say it, it just doesn't sound exactly the way I'm trying to make it sound. So, but I did also want to say that, you know, I we've talked about it before about the indulgences and, you know, whether it's realistic to say I'm never going to do that again versus, you know, making sure it's controlled when it does. And that's kind of where I am right now. It's like I don't even feel the need to do it, not even on a regular basis. I kind of pick two times a month. But I want to give myself permission to do it, but I've also set rules that it has to be limited. It has to be something unfreaking believable, not just some bagel. Exactly. It's got to be something that you just can't, you know, do without. And then it has to be my choice. I don't want it because I'm losing control. I want it because I've actually planned it. And I know how I'm going to do it, and I know how I'm going to move on. And I do find that way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I like that. That was a whole good little thing. The whole good little. Okay. I didn't want to go too much over 45 minutes, and we're at 48 right now. So I think we've kind of covered everything that we wanted to cover. I remember back, I think it was around Christmas time or it was around New Year's time, but you had written me, and I know I was in the middle of my own junk, my own family junk. And you just brought tears to my eyes.
And you made me cry. I was like, oh.
You know, you've been a joy to be to have as a client, and you know, to have as a friend. Like I said at the beginning, it's I care. I know about your family. I mean, I've met you. I know about your family. I know about your work. I'm going to try to put this in a place that I don't want to blow smoke up my butt. But do you genuinely get the feeling that I care about your life?
Oh, my God, yes. And, you know, what I realize is, first of all, I couldn't do what you do because I don't respond very well. You might call me or send me a message, and I get back to you Thursday, and you send me the message on Monday. And so it's very difficult to personally attend to each person that, you know, you're coaching. But, you know, sometimes life gets in the way, things happen, there's a storm, there's no phone. But I always know, you know, when I need you, you're there. And for some strange reason, you always say what I needed to hear, whether I wanted to hear it or not, you know, it's another story. But it's always what I needed to hear, and it's always in a way that's constructive, so I really get why. It's like you make me feel like I'm making it my decision. You're just helping present my options. And
that's my goal. Yeah. My goal is to empower you to make your own decisions, you know.
Right.
Pull
but
it
my
out of you because, go ahead.
The only way you can do that is to get to know somebody. You really, you know what I'm saying? And so you have to have listened and heard and remembered all of those things in order to help get me to that place. At least that's how I feel. So I don't think just some lady off the street could get me to think the way that I think, you know, because I wouldn't value it as much because I know that it's not personal and personalized. So, you know, I mean, I don't write, I don't blow smoke, and I don't do reviews unless it's truly awesome. Usually when they're horrible, I just ignore it. And so, you know, that's why I try, you know, say things because sometimes we spend our money on things, you know, that may or may not be important. And a lot of times in this day and age, you know, money is not plentiful. And so you have to be very careful. But, and that's part of the reason why I divorced you last year, 2 years ago, because we started Dave Ramsey. And so
yeah.
I was taking things out that weren't absolute necessities. But, you know, as I said on the website, you are a necessity. We go out to dinner. We do other mindless things that I'm sure I could come up with at least with more than what I pay you every, 3 months. And I talked to my husband. I was like, this is just going to have to be an ongoing expense because it's my health. And I am not gaining this weight back. I don't care what I have to do. So you have to be around.
Thank you. Okay, I told you, no mush.
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing our life, with your life with us.
See, it's our life. That's right.
Yeah. I got to say, when you were just having your little speech a little while ago, when you said our site, I thought that just brought so much joy to my heart.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
It did, because it was like, and I'm getting goosebumps now. It's special because I've always wanted HTA to be like a family community thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I regret that I've walked away from it a little bit over the last
mm-hmm.
year, but I'm getting back into it again because that's my home. And, yeah I kind of lost my way for a little while, you know, on my own. I've lost my way. So I'm finding
mm-hmm.
my way back there. And it just makes me feel good that there are people like you out there that appreciate that community, that support group. And, you know, there's no other place. And I'm not just saying this because it's my site.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on other sites.
Yeah.
and that's why we created Home
there. Exactly.
Well, because we are non-judgmental,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's try to support each other instead of trying to, you know, break each other down.
Yeah.
So thank you for being a part of it. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Well, you're welcome. And I appreciate, you know, all the help. I mean, there's a lot of people, not just you and the other, you know, founders, but there's a lot of folks that take their personal time out to just come talk to us about how we did the day before. And I think it's easy to take that for granted, but that is a true commitment. I mean, everybody has things going on, and to be able to set aside, you know, 10 minutes or hour, however long it is, to me is selfless, and I appreciate everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate. I love having you as a client, and thank you for sharing our, you know, your success with us. And really, you're an inspiration, Darlicia. Seriously,
oh, thank you.
You're an inspiration, and thank you for everything.
You're more than welcome, and I will help.
We might have a follow up, so just
we can have a follow up, and I'll also be a chair for another retreat.
Oh, awesome. Yes. I'm in a situation where it's kind of hard for me to leave right now taking care of my mom. So.
Yes. And we wait.
Whenever it's a good time, we'll wait. Thank you. And so I do want to say that I know I've kept you guys a little bit longer than I would have liked, but in conclusion, I wanted to let you folks know that I'm going to be running a special on my one-on-one coaching in the month of March, and this is for new clients that are coming in. So if you're on this call and you're interested, all I need for you to do tonight is to remember one word only, because when I offer this special, this is going to be your little coupon discount that you're going to be able to, even though people will say it's two words, it's just one word, and something that I come up with, it's one word. Rock on. R-A-W-K-O-N. Rock on. And that's all you have to remember to be able to get that discount. I don't have the discount ready for you yet. Once I have the recording for this call, I'll be releasing that that special with that, and it's going to be a special on the special price. So,
Ooh.
Hey, this woman paid me 6 months in advance. That's how much she wants me to stay in line.
Hey, but I like to save a buck.
Don't we all? Alicia, thank you so much for
thank
sharing
you.
Your life with us. And
thank you.
Take care of yourself and see you on the boards. And everybody that's listening in, we thank you for participating tonight. Y'all
okay.
Have a good day now.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.